The home of the local call of the big game. Live from Minneapolis, Zoe and Beetle. Sponsored by Direct Federal Credit Union. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It is first and 10 at their own 47. Play action in the pitch back to Zolak. It's a flea flicker. Lets it go long and deep for Timpson. Intercepted by Sanders at the 5. Back to the 10. He's to the 15, to the 20, and is heading down at the 24-yard line.
What a smart player he is.
Fourth and final hour, Zolak and Bertrand. What year was that, Zo?
What's that?
That pick.
Oh, God. It had to be 92? It was 92, yeah, second year.
92. Yeah. Back in 92, you could throw a pigskin quarter mile.
I thought I could hit the top of the underneath part of the Georgia Dome with those girders hanging.
Yeah, like a girder ring around.
Yeah, I'm like, I could hit that sucker. And I remember being out there in pregame throwing it, and I think I came 50 yards short. But, God, as a cocky 25-year-old kid, sure, I could chuck it up there.
It's good for the arm, too.
I'll hit that sucker up there. Right.
Yeah.
But, no pain. Try that now, my arm would fall off. I could probably hit those. Guarantee that.
We've got a big-time guest that will be here momentarily.
Sure.
And that is a Pro Football Hall of Famer by the name of Deion Sanders. I'm looking at the crowd here
in
the mall. The crowd here is really building.
So
so today's Thursday, and the people have arrived.
We predicted this on Monday when we said, wow, there's a lot of people just randomly walking through the mall, literally coming to the mall, do a little shopping, take a glance at Radio Row, and there was a lot of traffic. This is next level happening today.
I'm concerned, and I see him now making his way through the crowd.
Who?
He's over there.
Oh, boy.
And he's trying to keep his head down, and they are trying to shuffle him through the crowd. And I think they've done a pretty good job. I think they have managed to do a good job of getting him through the crowd as he makes his way here to talk with us.
Yep. Bam. Look at Capello. I'll tell you what, Mark Capello could do himself a job.
Yep.
Right there.
And so we will welcome into the show in our Big Y world-class market guest chair, a Patriot, someone who had a couple of picks against the Patriots back in 92 when Zoe was quarterback.
Yeah.
And a guy who's in the Hall of Fame.
We did this last year.
Yeah, we're going to do it again. We got to take that trip down memory lane because we know that Deion remembers every one of his picks.
Yes, I do.
He remembers every single one. Deion Sanders with us here on Radio Row in the Big Y world-class market guest chair.
I've made more plays than Tyler Perry.
You look like you still play, man.
I can.
How old were you in your final year?
Old? You got to understand, I walked away like Jesus did and came back at the three. He did 3 days. I did 3 years.
Because a lot is made about Tom Brady playing at the age that he plays at.
Yeah, Tom Brady's on another level, man. He's out of here. He's out of here. He's an athlete's athlete.
As the Patriots get ready for this game, Eagles get ready for this game, on the Eagles side, there's a couple of players, both Chris Long and LeGarrette Blount. We're just readjusting the headset.
There we go. We're up. Good.
Chris Long and LeGarrette Blount. Yes. They both played for the Patriots last year.
And nobody want to hit that.
What do you mean?
Blount.
Oh. you've got two guys that were on one team last year. Now they're back in the Super Bowl.
That could have been a couple of different things.
With another team. Yeah.
I know.
You've done that.
I always say that on television. When he makes a run, I say, nobody want to hit.
He's got a weird knack, though. We had LG up there for a while. But he's got a weird knack for a guy this size to find daylight.
Back-to-back is special. Back-to-back, but playing against your team that you formerly participated on is something extraordinary. I love it. First of all, I love LeGarrette Blount. And he has a little inside information on you guys, I feel, that he's going to disclose. And it's going to be interesting.
Like what?
How to deal with Gronk. Oh. But you still got to deal with him. But he's going to disclose a few things, I'm pretty darn sure, that you're going to have to deal with.
Were you surprised? I know Church made the hit on Gronk last week, the Jacksonville game.
It's a clean hit, too. It's clean.
How are you supposed to hit it?
Hit
Gronk. Like he's had the knee taken out before. Now he's got the concussion.
Man, you just got to try to get Gronk down. Just try to get him down. Forget how to hit him. Gronk is a man. One of my high school coaches, I'm a high school coach, state champions, by the way, he says Gronk plays with an illegal weapon on his arm. and they need to outlaw that weapon that he plays with. And I asked, I asked Gronk about it. He said, "You think I want to play with that mess on my arm? I don't want to put that thing on." So it's unbelievable. Gronk is a physical specimen, man. He's the tight end of tight ends, man. He's unbelievable. I love this guy. I love what he stands for on the field. I love the way he adores the game. The game loves him back. He is New England Patriot football to me.
So it sounds like there's no doubt in your mind that he's going to be playing on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, we had him against LeGarrette on the man game, and Gronk used Gronk to the tune of like 8 catches, 160 yards. He got his butt kicked, but Gronk threw the Gronk a lot in that game. So I'm hoping that Gronk has that same type of day.
Yeah, I saw the kid last week for the first time, Jalen Ramsey in person.
Wow.
It's dope. Does he have a chance to be the next you?
Well, ain't going to be another prime. Let's get this straight.
Oh, we know that.
I just wanted to clarify that. Ain't going to be – no, that'll never be happening. Okay, but Jalen Ramsey is special. Jalen Ramsey is so special. I'm not going to tell you
He's
who
got
I
your
said
swagger,
this
man.
To. I told this to an NFL organization, draft him. Draft him. They say, why? I said, because he's going to be around for 10 years at a high level. These other guys, you may draft them before, but they only have a 5-6 year run.
Yeah.
This kid is going to be around for a long time. Year 2, all pro. He's special. He has a gift, man.
So I'm assuming the team you told to draft him didn't draft him.
They didn't draft him. Now they paying for it, though.
Cowboys? You talk about playing your own team too. everything's Jerry.
Lose it.
You talk about playing your old team. You know, here in San Fran, Dallas. How like you get up more for those games, right?
No. If you got to get up for a game, there's a problem with you. You should get up for every game. Like a Super Bowl shouldn't matter. True story. Getting ready in '94. Getting ready to play the San Diego Chargers. Ray Rose, my defensive coordinator. I say, Ray, it's Friday. You know what Prime does on Friday. I like to go out. They say, okay.
That's Super Bowl week.
So, why should it be different just because somebody put the title Super Bowl on it? Ray came to my room, got me, took me down the side stairs, had a limo out there waiting for me. I went out, had a good time, called him on the way in. I'm about to come on back in. Took me back to my room. I'm in. I had to do what I did. And not like I stayed out, but I just like to get out at that time and be around the people and just feel it, because that's what I would have did on a Friday night playing in San Francisco. And I felt it. I had to feel it, baby. You shouldn't change your tune just because everybody else is changing. You should do what you consistently do. And I like to have fun.
She'd recommend Gronk go out Friday night.
I want Gronk to be Gronk. Gronk be Gronk. That's what you guys want. Gronk to be Gronk.
Yes. Yes.
Do that. Whatever you do in New England and in Boston, whatever, wherever it is, I don't know what you guys call it. What do they call
Boston.
It?
Boston.
Boston. Whatever you do, be that.
I played Willie McGinnis for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Willie now has been elevated and he's doing a hell of a job.
Yeah,
what have you seen from him as a broadcaster? Because I think he breaks
Willie's
the game
good, man.
As good as you do.
Willie's very argumentative, too.
Yeah.
We got into a real heated discussion, not bad blood, but over some quarterbacks that's coming in this upcoming draft just the other day off camera. I wish the cameras were there, because that's usually when the best discussions occur, when you're off radio, off camera. Yeah. It was good.
Was he sticking up for his SC guy, Darnold?
What do you think?
Yeah,
of course he was.
Yeah.
The homer.
Exactly. Homer.
He's a homer.
He had on USC helmet.
Beyond a homer.
Well, who do you like in the group? As far, you know, when April comes.
A guy named Lamar Jackson.
Wow.
You know why? It's sort of like Deshaun Watson. Not Jackson, Watson. You criticize the kid for being a dual threat. You praise him all through college for being a dual threat. He gets ready to go in the draft. You criticize him. Then when he gets in the pros and he show you he's a dual threat, you applaud him and you praise him. Carson Wentz, the reason we like him because he could do what with the ball? Make something happen. But you criticize the guy. Now you got the ultimate dual threat that Durnin has ever graced this earth since Mike Vick. Work with his mechanics. He can still throw the ball phenomenally. He has a gun. And you don't think this guy should be a Jackson? Oh, my God. Could you imagine with him in that defense of Jacksonville where he has time to grow? That's what happened with Russell Wilson, isn't it?
Yeah.
Had a defense, had time to grow, got a running game. Oh, the rest is history.
Pete let him be him.
He let him be him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the discussion.
How big is NFL Prime going to get as this thing keeps moving?
I love it. You know what? I love it. The guys love it. And I like it often. How to say that word? Authentic.
It's good work.
I don't like them to put the guys on camera after the game Until what's up, beautiful? Until she is Amber. Amber Theo Harris, baby. I wish the TV could see you. See? The camera, radio could see you. I like it authentic, and I like the guys' reaction when they first see me, you know, because it's a big thing to me. It's like we're validated. You know, in our day, if we would have had a guy there looking like, I saw you do that, man. You did that. I got you.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the light on you because you did that. And that's what we do, man. The game day prime. That's what we do.
Deion Sanders, Hall of Famer with us. What'd you make of the year that Malcolm Butler had? He seemed to go backwards a little bit.
I was very dissatisfied with Malcolm Butler in the playoffs. I was so dissatisfied, I think they hurt me because they started blitzing him.
Stop bringing him, yeah.
And that changed the game.
Yeah.
You start blitzing him. It's like, I'm not going to leave him in coverage right now. And he just got to refocus, man. He got to refocus.
On the other side of the field, Stephon Gilmore has gone from a guy at the start of the year, wasn't playing very well, and is now.
But all you remember is that one play. All you remember is that one play. You don't remember nothing else but that one play.
There's a 10-foot tall photo of it across the food court.
That's all you remember. Nobody remembers nothing that he did.
Yeah.
We don't even remember nothing Malcolm Butler did the year that he intercepted the pass. We don't even know if he played before then.
I don't think he did.
He did. Right? But he made better plays down the seam earlier in that Super Bowl against the Seahawks. Down the seam, they had better play than he did at the end of the game. But we forget that.
But that's all it takes is one play, man.
Yeah.
One moment. One moment, and we turn it into a monument.
Scott Zolak had two moments against you. We tried to recount them when you were sat down.
You guys
with
not right.
I'm sorry.
Why do you guys keep doing
I'm sorry,
this?
Sorry,
can we do it again? Can we play them?
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to hear
them?
Because he walks around. He's got a pretty good opinion of himself.
You got
this is our yearly.
You like to humble him.
This is our yearly ego check of Scott Zolak.
Let's hear him. Let's play him.
I want to hear him.
Play him.
Zolak steps up, looks, fires down the left sideline. Could be picked off. It is by Deion Sanders at the 25.
You know what? When the man said could be picked off,
he knew it.
Like it's almost like, why did you throw the ball over there? He didn't say could be caught or could be a great pass. He said could be picked off. Now that's prime. That's like a moment of prime.
Why you hold the ball in the air when you pick it off?
That's what I did as a kid.
The quarterback gets pissed.
But that's what I did as a kid. Like. I was like that parking lot dude. You know what dudes do in the parking lot?
They want to
dance, had a good time. I just did it and was getting paid to do it. That's the only difference.
I'm sorry I hit you late.
That's only.
It's okay.
That's okay.
Do you remember the late hit or you didn't
no,
feel
I don't.
It?
No,
didn't feel it. Feel it.
Where was it?
It was in the Georgia Dome. You got knocked out of bounds. They ran you out of bounds. I came
that was you?
Yeah. Yeah. You had Irving Fryer on a deep post.
There's another clause to that story. Do you know the other clause to this story since you remembered this? You know who was involved in this story?
Who?
Was it on our sideline?
Yes.
Goldberg.
Shut up.
Goldberg grabbed you. You don't even
I had no clue who grabbed me, but he grabbed me off.
Let me tell you something. Goldberg was my guy. Bill Goldberg was my guy. He barely played, but I gave him love all the time. I looked out for him. We went to these wonderful restaurants in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We went to these wonderful places.
Clubs.
But, yeah, we had a good time together, and that was my guy. And he
freaking
was so
Goldberg.
Much of my guy that when you hit me out of bounds, he came to my rescue. He got a $5,000 fine, and I paid it for him.
Wow.
Yeah.
You owe Deion Sanders $5,000.
Goldberg.
Him? Come on.
Cut the check.
Yeah, dude, I did not know you hit me way out of bounds.
It was out of bounds. I know. It was two steps. But you had that ball up in the air and all that. It's, yeah,
Goldberg. And a big ruckus broke out on the
high
sideline, right?
Stuff.
Was it a ruckus on the sideline?
I don't remember anything. They just pulled me out and they said, get the hell out of here.
Well, if that's the same story, Goldberg was involved.
And that's only one of the
two.
That's
only one. There's another one.
Great.
Stop, guys.
At their own 47. Play
this
action on the pitch back to Zolak. It's a flea flicker. Lets it go long and deep for Timpson. Intercepted by Sanders at the 5. Back to the 10. He's to the 15, to the 20, and is heading down at the 24-yard line.
What a smart player he is.
What a smart player he is.
There's another clause to this story. I was a Florida versus Georgia, the first ever All-Star game. All the best players from Florida against the best players from Georgia. I play quarterback in high school. So I'm there to play cornerback or receiver. I see Sammy Smith, which was like 6'2", 6'3", 215. I'm not playing cornerback. Ain't no way in the world I'm hitting that. At 150 pounds, ain't no way. So I play receiver. Michael Timpson was like this guy that was all world.
Track guy.
Yeah.
Penn State track guy.
They didn't even give us a shot. I actually had 3 catches for 88 yards, led us in receiving that game. But they just rolled out the red carpet. I had that in my head ever since then. I'm going to get him.
You know, we call him Nipsey Russell. That's his nickname. We used to call him Nipsey Russell.
I'm going to get him, and I wanted him bad. I'm like, I wanted him. I'm going to jam you every chance I get. Because I was still mad that they looked over me in that game. Man, this is some good game.
It's good. You got to come up with something, some way that Zoe can pay you back. He's not going to give you $5,000.
Zoe, let me tell you something. I didn't know that was you. I really did. I remember picking this thing up and holding it up, man.
Take my Rolex.
I can't do that to you. But I do remember. The only reason that was the first time I ever held it up.
Yeah, it's the brand new dome. You guys had to bring. You rolled it out.
Time. You were like you're
black
the genesis.
Jerseys and black helmets.
You are the genesis of holding that thing up.
Well, you had Jerry too, and Jerry's telling me, "Man, I should have drafted you." He's telling me in the pregame, "You throw that ball through my." He said, "I should have drafted you." Instead of that dumbass fart, man. Look at him. Hey, Mississippi. He used to call Mississippi
Jerry.
Over there.
Sound like Jerry
yeah,
too.
Right, Mississippi.
So you inspired him to hold the ball up for the very first time. You guys even?
That's the first time I ever held it up.
Okay, so you forgive him for the $5,000?
Yeah. I do.
Okay.
You're a good man.
Deion Sanders, Football Hall of Famer, NFL Network.
Never bet against Brady. If anybody's listening, never bet against Brady.
You learned that 3 years ago, didn't you?
No, I never did anyway. I tell all my friends. During the game, I always just tweet out Brady. And everybody know what I mean.
We'll catch you doing that Sunday.
Yeah.
Brady. Right. Brady on Sunday.
Appreciate
Deion, thank you
guys.
Yep. Appreciate
Deion,
you being
pleasure,
here.
Man.
Thank you.
You guys are
the
awesome.
Best ever, man.
Zolak, baby.
The start of it all. CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Schultz Law. John Feinstein on Bill Self of the Kansas Jayhawks.
The Mall Food Court, a hotbed of reheated pizza, is now a hotbed of sports talk. Zolak and Bertrand are live at Radio Row in Minneapolis, thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Our thanks to Deion Sanders. Primetime.
It's a good one.
Nobody like him when it comes to Radio Row guests. Nobody. Good get by Mark Capello.
Boy.
Lining up Deion Sanders for us.
I'd put Capello on a plane. Just send him home now.
That's it. You've peaked. This hour of Zolak and Bertrand from Radio Row. Brought to you by our friends at New Pro. 617-779-0985. We still have Jenny McCarthy on the way.
Jeez.
Later this hour.
See ya.
What?
Good friend Billy Laney back home communicating. I remember the first time I've ever used a camera.
All right, I already deleted the photo. So I was doing like a panoramic photo.
Yeah, it looked really good.
You know something? I've done it before and they turn out nice. I posted it without zooming in on it, and it looked like you had a bit of a face melt, and Deion's face
I looked
was
like
smushed.
Chunk in the Goonies.
Okay, well, it ended up being technically a bad photograph, so I took it down. Can everybody calm down? Billy Laney now busting my balls from 2,000 miles away. Like, I really need that.
That's what he's there for.
Oh, yes. 2 feet, 2,000.
If Laney was here, I could have trusted him to take a better photo. Jesse in California. Hi, Jesse. Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, you got it. Hey, not too long ago, Kraft did an interview where he said that, Bill knew when he was going to retire and Kraft knew when he was going to retire, but it was staying between them. And then the discussion was, what age do you think they talked about? And maybe it wasn't just an age. Maybe it was the amount of titles that they were going to end up winning. So maybe it was 70 or if we get to 6. Because as we found out, Nick Caserio was blocked from talking to other teams. So if Belichick was to retire, Caserio could still run the talent part of the whole thing while another coach was hired.
Okay. His point there, Hardy, I know you're having a hard time hearing him, so I'm going to assume some others did as well, that maybe if that conversation had taken place, as they said it once did, that they weren't talking about a number in terms of age. They were talking number in terms of championships or both. Hey, it's either 70 or when I win 6, I'm done.
Okay.
It's whatever comes first.
Yeah.
And if that number was 6 and he's not yet at the age, maybe Kraft is thinking, well, no, he's not done. He's not done.
Right.
He's going to keep going a few more years. He's
not done. I think it's the burn of the desire factor, too. And if that's dissipated for Belichick in the back of his mind, he knows he's done. I haven't sensed
I don't get the sense that his desire to do it is fading.
I don't either. I see the guy. It's just the way games. It's people are trying to take naps. He's got two computers, and he's just nonstop. Maniacal. He is maniacal about football the way Brady is about his longevity and pliability and playing well. It's like that's what makes them both tick.
Everybody around him, when you
how would he just
even
stop?
Broach the subject, they're like, no, there's no way he's getting
like out. Linda's like, I never see him. Like, this is, you know, we'll take a quick break at the end of the year, but, you know, now he's in such football mode, as it's not going away. And some coaches get that, and they change at the end where, like in Bruce Arians, here's one thing I learned, man, cool, after I was drinking that white paint, you know, we don't need to be at the facility till 9 p.m. at night. I like to turn my guys loose at 4 and let them have a family. Well, that tells you your desire and the amount of time you apply to the craft is sort of shrunk compared to other years prior where you've sort of staked your claim and made your name, you know, in this league. And that's kind of an indicator, and look what ends up happening. He burned out. That was it for him this year. I don't see that from Bill at all. Not one sign. Not one.
No, and if he's just putting in the hours for hours' sake, then you can make a case for, all right, take a little bit off. You got some things on autopilot here and there. But from all indications, people are there working on stuff constantly. And it's not just, you know, because this is the way we've always done it and this is what we do. No, there's reason and purpose to it all. And if that's what he does, he wants to put in those kinds of hours, and that's what the entire staff does. Like you said, Zoe, until the result is different, why would you change any of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, my thought is, why would you even consider it when things are so good right now? And this goes back to what we started the day with in the comments from Andrea Kramer that were made in the interview with her. And I just think that there's no dysfunction. There might be tension, as they say there is. There certainly is that. They're still functioning at a high level. They're in the Super Bowl again. They're favorites to win the Super Bowl again. That's not dysfunctional.
Right. What's wrong with tension? You know, it's like guys who get nervous before games. No, I was totally relaxed. No, most good players say they get nervous before every game. Coaches, too. Is that the result of the tension? Probably. It all fits together.
Coming up Saturday here in Minneapolis, the Super Saturday Rally on the campus in the University of Minnesota.
Wow.
At Buffalo Wild Wings. Hardy and Big Jim will broadcast live. Yeah. Felger, Maz, Zolak, and Bertrand, and other special guests along the way. It all starts at 1 p.m. Central Time. That is 1 p.m. local. We will be partying at Buffalo Wild Wings on the campus of the University of Minnesota, right next to the football stadium. That's where we'll be. Get there early. This party will hit capacity. There will be people left out in the cold. And when you say left out in the cold, in Minnesota, you're left out in the, if you're not careful, you might lose a limb type of cold. It might just freeze right off.
Or your feet will freeze
They'll
to the
turn pavement. Black.
That's that cold.
Your feet could turn black here.
Frostbite.
Frostbitten.
You don't want to go to a party, but you do want to go to the party, but you don't want to have to cut limbs off because of black.
I don't
want
to have to be cutting off anybody's toes.
Right.
All right, so
party's
get there
good.
Early.
I don't know if it's that good, but it's pretty good.
It ain't worth a toe or two. Can tell you that. So get there early. Get to Buffalo Wild Wings. That party's coming up on Saturday. Coming up next, we have another guest scheduled. It's JD McCarthy.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Super Bowl week continues here on Radio Row. Deion Sanders joining us a few minutes ago. Before that, it was Steve Spagnuolo. JD McCarthy set to join us next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. What is it, Beatle? Oh, can we get Beatles' mic on? He has late breaking news.
We might have an adjustment in the schedule.
Oh,
we might have
right.
a different guest coming.
All right.
Okay,
then.
And I think if you're listening, stay put.
All right.
All right.
Well, we'll kind of move this along then, too. Celtics over the Knicks, 103-73 last night. Next up, they'll take on Atlanta tomorrow night. The Bruins host St. Louis tonight at the Garden. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers have the call right here on the New England Honda Dealers, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Bruins Radio Network. Headlines are brought to you by Big Y World Class Market. Hosting guests for the big game, your party isn't complete without a trip to Big Y World Class Market. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand are live at Radio Row at the Mall of America, thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand from Radio Row in Minneapolis at 1:34. We did have a guest scheduled, but we're We're calling an audible here.
She got bumped.
Is what we're doing.
Who'd we bump?
We bumped Jenny McCarthy.
Jenny McCarthy.
Jenny McCarthy.
Can't bump Jenny for me.
We just did. We just
Donnie
did.
Donnie and Jenny.
It was
are
just
great.
Done. It was just done. Jonathan Kraft joins us in the Big Y world class.
Jenny, I'm
guest
sorry. Here. She's a lot cuter than me. You guys would be a lot happier.
So we were just talking to you prior to you coming on. This is working. Super Bowl 52 in an environment where it's -6 outside, and the location of the mall and Radio Row and where your team is staying right next door. Yeah. What'd you make of it so far?
It's been great. And I'll tell you, the people, we say this at all the Super Bowls, but really the people are so nice here. And this mall is a spectacle. You know, they used to call the Astrodome the eighth wonder of the world. I think this mall is the eighth wonder of the world. And it's great having fans and not media people and not football-related celebrities be the only people in Radio Row. So I think this is great, and our team loves it. And I think Bill really likes our hotel being where it is because other than the mall, there's nothing anywhere close to here.
Right. You can't get downtown.
And the mall shuts down early at night, and so it's perfect.
That's another good point.
It does, but yeah. The players can also feel like they
can get
got
out.
Away for a couple minutes and went right. And did something else.
Very true.
As long as they don't need a ton of Shake Shack.
That ain't happening.
Keep the running backs away from there.
Well, the special teams group was over at the Panda Express the other day.
It's good food.
Yeah. Panda Express works. I'm not sure Shake Shack does. Yeah. Ted Harper, the guy who oversees what they all eat. We'll let Ted manage that.
So how happy are you to be in this spot? You know, even going back to what's been reported as having in-house fighting and all that. And, you know, coming together from all sides to win the whole damn thing again.
If, when I don't think a team can make the Super Bowl unless there is a sense of unity, team camaraderie, singular purpose. It's too hard. I mean, yeah. You played, you know. It's not like baseball where you could have, like they said, 20 whatever guys, 20 whatever cabs, and you can do that. In football, you can't do that, and it's just there's too many variables and too much that can fall apart to get to this game of the season, be one of the last two standing. If the team isn't really functioning as a single unit with a single purpose, and everybody putting aside whatever else is going on in their life, everybody on the team. To make this their end goal, I'm not sure you can be sitting here.
I would think that after a number of years, we talked about this too, you get any group of guys together, and they don't all have to be alphas, they don't all have to be egomaniacs, you just get a group of men together and women, whatever, for a certain number of years, there are going to be tensions. There are going to be times when you don't all get along. I don't know that there's really much of a story there.
No, there's. Look, by the way, before I say anything, Mark Bertrand used to be my wife Patty's favorite radio personality. And
used
Hardy, I want you to know you're now number two. Oh. You've supplanted Mark.
Why?
But I think I don't know why that is.
Because you used to be the
great.
Third guy in Felger Mesh. He was the voice of reason with the other two wackos.
So that may have been it. I don't know, though. I don't know. But anyhow, sorry.
Nice compliment. Thank
just
you.
An aside. But I don't think anything good gets accomplished in any business, in any organization that's high performance without there being tension. Tension's not a bad thing. Tension is when talented, capable people come together. Not everybody is going to see everything the exact same, but you work it out, you go. Dysfunction is different than tension. Dysfunction is when people who are smart and capable, but instead of putting whatever the singular goal is at the forefront and putting everything else aside, you use your energy or your time to try to undercut somebody else you work with rather than the pursuit. And there's no dysfunction that I've seen in our building at all. Nothing like it. And if there was, you wouldn't be here.
I had the pleasure to see the two Bills, the documentary, the 30 for 30, which airs tonight on ESPN. To learn everything going back to the day when you guys as a family purchased this team. And Dad, you know, Robert's a big part of the 30 for 30. I live that. That is true
you were
tension.
There, that's true.
That's true tension. I mean, you go for
that. Was that dysfunction?
No, that's dysfunction. Oh. That's dysfunction.
I mean.
That wasn't tension. When somebody – sorry, go ahead, Zoe.
No, but I mean, when people see this tonight, you're going to laugh at what's been talked about, reported for the last 2 months or so. That's the way I term it. because I lived that. That was real.
That was dysfunction.
Yeah.
That I'm glad but you that's it a out. Perfect juxtaposition. Yeah.
But you figured it out.
Like, have you seen the 30 for 30?
Yeah. I was sent a link to it last week. I have not, or maybe even 2 weeks ago, I have not had the chance to watch it.
There is a point in there where Parcells leaving and going to the Jets, following the Patriots. Robert talks about the league not backing the Patriots then and being completely okay with the fact that he had gone out and gotten a job while basically still the head coach of the Patriots, getting a job elsewhere, and how just kind of shocking that was allowed to happen.
Yeah, it's good for him to be
right?
in New York.
And that was just sort of allowed. Yeah. Oh, you don't understand. It's good for the league. It's good for him to be in New York. And Robert relayed that story. And all I could think of was maybe some distrust of some people in the league office going back a long time ago. That wasn't something recent that had developed in his mind?
Maybe. I'm going to let Robert speak to that one, but maybe would be the operative word. I think that would be the perfect word.
A lot of support for the Patriots here in Minneapolis. Some of it is because Vikings fans don't want to root for the team that knocked their team out of the NFC, but is it unsettling for you in a way to come into an area that's not in New England and have so many Patriots fans
like
here?
Us.
Yeah, it's got to feel like a nice change of pace.
Yeah, it doesn't usually happen at the Super Bowls. We'll see what the stadium's like on Sunday. But the people, like we talked
they
about.
They despise the Eagles here. They do.
Yeah,
they despise them.
I agree. The only thing is how many – we'll see who's in the building on Sunday. But it'll be nice. It'd be nice to do that. But look. Our team is a great road team. It doesn't – you get to this game, you're good at just channeling it out. But it's nice to not walk through the streets and have expletives yelled at you. We just came from Optum, which is a division of United Health Group, which is headquartered out here, a Fortune 50 company, a Fortune 20 company. And they all said they were Viking. We got a huge round of applause, and the people were saying we're all in on the Pats. So that was nice to see.
Was that Larry? Larry's out here.
Larry was all of Larry's people, and it was great.
Okay, this doesn't seem to get old hat. We're getting used to being out here each and every year. How happy are you for the new guys? There's 21 new faces. Guys like Cooks, Gilmore, who you guys obviously invested a lot in. This is a big game for them in a couple days.
I'll tell you, I don't want to single out individual guys. The two mm-hmm. guys you mentioned are just wonderful people who they're great football players, but culturally they're a great fit for our team, as is everybody who has joined. And I know that some of the veterans on our team really, I've seen it, enjoy talking to those guys and sharing what this is going to be like and trying to bring them down the learning curve before we get here. And really, culturally, I think that started on our team. I saw Willie McGinnis do that with Richard Seymour in 04, and I watched him with Eugene Wilson and Asante Samuel, who were young guys that were new to it, and I think there's been a legacy of that. And if you're on a team, I don't really remember what it was like for us back in 96 or 01, but I think if you're on a team where you don't have a number of players with that experience, it's so new to all of them, and there's no one to guide them that the week could get off kilter at the start. I mean, look, you were in one, so you can, weren't you?
Yeah, 96-97.
And how was that? We were just starry-eyed, right?
Well, the problem was you got there, and it was New Orleans, too. So you got Bourbon Street. You walked right out our door. Our hotel was at the end of that corner, that big Hilton, right at the end of Bourbon. And, I mean, you're out every night. And they're like, hey, it's sort of that happy to be there. And that's kind of the sense, you know, you see Philly and how they deal with it, where we're more business-like to the Patriots.
Well, you said that. I didn't say that.
I'm just saying my observation. Right, you didn't say that.
I haven't said that. I haven't seen Philly and anything else. But I do think the players definitely share the experiences. And I think the players doing that can only help the younger guys. And I'll tell you, guys like Cooks and Gilmore, since you mentioned them, they're all business. They're not here to have a good time. I think they came to New England because they were hoping to be in this position, and now you got to close the deal.
Hey, so how many tickets did the team give you in 96?
I think we had the ability to purchase 28. That's a long time ago.
Wow.
It's changed over the
years.
What's
that number now? What do players get now?
It gets mandated in the CBA and the league. I don't want to speak because I'll misspeak.
I don't know what the number is. I think it's between 4 and 6 now.
No, it's four and six. Is it? You know what? I don't know.
Because Zoe has told the story in years past of when the team made the Super Bowl that year, how you would talk to some players, including Zoe, and you're like, yeah, you get 28 tickets.
Back in those days, it was a lot.
Like, guys, we want fans to go. Like, if you're not using these tickets, we need, you know, let's go. Let's get our fans to this game.
Yeah, but, it was,
you made that pitch.
You got to be happy, though, the fans.
The problem with 96 and 01, too, was that wasn't it 1 week in each of those years? No,
96, we still had the bye.
We still had the bye.
Oh, one,
we didn't, and there was so, – 9-11. That's because we shortened it. I thought in 96, but no. I'll tell you, for a team, 1 week is impossible.
Yeah.
It would be impossible.
Are you immune to your phone going off and people asking for tickets? Do people know enough to not ask you directly?
You know what? We've learned, and I'll tell you, I have the greatest assistant in the world, Tracy Fiore, and she's helped out by Anya Gorney. But Tracy, everybody in my life who would ask knows to go to Tracy. And so Tracy's been there since Houston in 03, and she's got it down to a science for our office.
Well, Tracy bosses you around. I've seen
it. Yes, she does.
She tells you what to do.
I don't know Tracy, but I need a pair. So I'll just give you my phone number here. You want to give me yours? And
I thought that's what we were getting in exchange for the not done time that we're doing over there.
Wait, we're not done.
Are you guys not done yet? Not done
network? Not done.
Have you been on every day?
Yet? Oh, every day.
Oh, I'm on every day. With
Brian didn't do the bus this year.
we were hoping he would do the bus again.
So Brian Moore, of course, runs the hall. He and I are doing 2 hours every day, and we are not done.
I actually might tune in for that.
We are on 2 to 4 local time today. 3 to 5 in Boston.
Patty will be ecstatic. I might lose you. I'm glad you're married, Artie. Otherwise, I'd be in trouble.
Jeez, Sly Devil.
Well, that's very nice. Thank you.
Jonathan Kraft with us here on Radio Row in Minneapolis as we get set for Super Bowl 52. Were you at all concerned about Tom's hand before that AFC Championship game? And I guess I'll ask you now, even though I don't know why anybody would be concerned, but what do you feel about his hand and where he's at with the hand?
I'll tell you, I think the legend of Tom is so great that what he just did has been downplayed. He is truly the greatest competitor in any sport of all time. You think about what he's doing and how he's performing at 40 with what else he's accomplished in life and just how physical this game is, how mental it is, the preparation that goes into it to compete at this level. And then think about it, Wednesday before the AFC Championship game, to have 12 stitches get put right in the palm of your throwing hand as you're about to go up against as ferocious of a defense as exists in the National Football League. And then on Wednesday, and I saw him on Wednesday, and you don't usually, you know, he was there, but you sensed he was thinking about it a little. And boy, by Sunday morning, he was so confident. He didn't even get to start throwing, just that he could perform, I think. Not that we were going to win, but that he could perform. And then you lose Gronk in the middle of the second quarter of that game. And I think anybody that wasn't just such an exceptional competitor against that defensive front, you know, you're always looking. I think anybody you see great athletes weed themselves out when excuses and challenges get thrown in front of them and they drop off one by one, and Tom just rises to the occasion and just rises to the occasion. So the answer is I was blown away. That pass to Amendola on the first drive of the game, I think it was the first or second, I think it was the first drive. And you're like, this isn't going to affect him. And then you just marvel at him. So do I think it's going to affect him on Sunday? No, I don't. But I might be. I haven't asked him, so maybe it is. But I would say no.
You run out of football analogies when you're talking about Tom Brady, because it seems to be the new thing when you mention Brady and you're trying to talk about things we've seen like it. It's Nicholas, it's Jordan, but it's guys outside
it's
the sport.
It's even greater than that. I mean, he's doing it in an era when there are 32 teams in the National Football League, where there's social media with athletes, yeah, where there's unrestricted free agency, where there's a salary cap. When you're good, your coaches are good. I mean, look, and I really like Peyton Manning. I've gotten to know him, and I like him. But you look at the consistency that he had in Indy, and then you, with his core group of skill players and his coaching, and I don't mean the head coach. I'm talking about as coordinators. And you look at what Tom's done. And there's no adjective. So I don't even think, you know, Jordan, it's just the errors. Tom Brady, in my humble opinion, and it's just one man's opinion, is the greatest competitor to ever play professional sports, period. I don't know. So, yes, there's no good comparison or analogy, and in my mind, and by the way, he's an amazing human being, and if he was the exact same guy, I know Mark's heard me say this before, if he was the exact same guy but wasn't a famous quarterback but was a lawyer, a teacher, an EMT, a nurse, whatever, anything, and he married your daughter, you'd say my daughter married the greatest man in the world. And I really believe that.
You did a sit-down with Andrea Kramer this week, correct, for NFL Network?
We did it last week, but guess it aired this week.
Last week. And you talked about Tom... And the end, whenever that is for him, that he, how did you phrase it?
I was asked a question. How are you going to tell him? Or something. And I was like, I should have corrected myself. Because I don't think you tell any football player, not just Tom Brady, that you have to retire. My point was, people have to decide for themselves when they want to retire from something. That's what the question was about. And I know it. People have focused on it, but there wasn't meant to be any deep meaning to it. It's just, and in the case, you know, certainly of Tom Brady, as well as any player, as much as any player that's played the game, you know, whether you're a football player or whatever you are in life, if you've worked hard at something and you decide when it's time to go, unless there's some like legal rule, like when you're an airplane pilot that it's 65 or whatever it is, you got to hang
right.
it up.
So when you say it like that, it sounds like you made no statement whatsoever about things.
Wasn't meant to be a statement. I think the question, and Andrew's very good, and the question was just posed as, you know, I don't even remember, but it was like, so do you think about how you're going to tell Brady when it's time to retire? And I just, you don't tell Tom Brady when it's time to retire, but I should have said you don't tell any pro football player. That's a very personal decision. That's for each of them to make on their own.
And for some players, that decision is made for them.
Right. I mean, that goes without saying, but I was – that's right.
Well, we're in a and state that's made right now. We're reading into everything.
Yeah.
There's tension. We're reading into everything that's being said or not being said, like the question about Bill in that interview. And the future of Bill, and Robert declined to answer that question. Now everyone wants to. I want to read into that. I'm nervous. Everyone's nervous. They want to read into that. Is that there's something going on?
Yeah, I'll just defer to exactly what Robert said in that interview.
So that I'm makes sure me more nervous. I'm nervous. Sure, that I'm makes sure. everybody nervous.
Edge. Well, I also heard that Bill Belichick at a press conference was asked, and he said absolutely or something.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I guess you look at whichever answer you want. Zoe, you talked to Bill. You asked Bill. Right?
Why don't you go ask him?
I think those questions
are given. It's the only negative to being in the Super Bowl, and clearly it's a very, very, very small negative.
Well, the microscope is out.
The microscope.
I think Jonathan
is
just trying to maintain a healthy amount of tension, the good tension.
It's good.
You know, let's not make things too
keeping everybody on their toes.
There's no dysfunction.
No dysfunction, but healthy tension.
Well, but there's healthy tension. There's been healthy tension in, I think, any season for the 24 seasons we've been in this business. There's been a lot of healthy tensions, and in a couple cases, Zoe cited them, I've seen dysfunction. I don't see dysfunction here at all.
Jonathan, thank you for coming down, stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Mark, thank you. Zoe,
thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Hardy.
It. Good
thank
luck Sunday.
You.
Thank
Best
you.
Of
Thanks,
luck
guys.
In Super Bowl 52. That wraps it up for us today. In Minneapolis on Radio Row here on Zolak and Bertrand. Thanks to all of our guests, including Merrill Hodge, Steve Spagnuolo, Deion Sanders, of course, Jonathan Kraft, president of the New England Patriots. All of them, we're in our Big Y world-class market guest chair. Friday will be another packed day on Radio Row. Felger and Maz are coming alive. They'll be coming up momentarily here from Minneapolis. It is very busy here. Plenty of great guests for them to have. And so all that on the way. And all this coverage from Radio Row this week brought to you by Direct Federal Credit Union. Our thanks to them for all they've done for us in making this week a reality, Zoe. Hey, Zoe, talk to you tomorrow, buddy.
All right, pal.
All right?
I'll see you, buddy.
We'll do it again. Hardy, see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Not done. Hardy's not done.
Not done.
Felger Maz coming up next.